The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line today. Open line through to 1, call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. So what do you make of what Claire Barber and Tim Castle had to say yesterday from the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture? And also, there were panel members speaking at that Positive Action Group meeting, Pathways to Drug Law Reform, who believed that the Isle of Man should be looking to be innovative, to innovate on the issue. It comes ahead of Dr. Allinson asking Timwell to consider setting up a citizen's jury to consider a regulated framework for the sale of cannabis. I just wonder what your thoughts are where that's concerned. Do you think it's something that we need to be concentrating on? And where would you start? Remember, my back to basics questions are, who'd sell them? Who'd sell cannabis cigarettes? If we're going to make cannabis cigarettes, are we going to, if it's going to be legal, are we selling the leaf or are we selling ready-made cigarettes? And who would sell them? Because at the moment, the people who sell cannabis are your link with the criminal underworld. And at the other end of that criminal underworld are people who would happily shoot you between the eyes. So, in the future, what do? Let's get to the phones, and we've got Richard with us now. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Good morning, Andy. I'd just like to say that I and many people say that they're very sorry for the hard-working, soon-to-depart CEO of Manx Care. But I wonder whether we shouldn't be feeling much sorrier for the 20% of the population who she's leaving on a waiting list. Nearly 7,000 people have been on the list for more than a year, and the lives of thousands of these are being ruined whilst they suffer mobility problems, pain, and sometimes agony. Does the fact that Manx Care sent me an email, which I could send to you if you want it, admitting that they had thought that just one monofocal cataract lens cost over £750 when they suggested that the cataract patients should be requested to pay for their lenses before they discovered that they only cost £58. And they also informed me that they were working on getting a private cataract service restarted on the Isle of Man. And does this not indicate that a disaster CEO has allowed a management team to become? Would Manx Care or its patients benefit financially from a private cataract service being restarted? Why should the long waiting list force us to pay for private treatment costing about three times what we have already paid for in our taxes? Why should we be giving Manx Care a budget of £404 million when they seem to be trying to use their long waiting list to force us into having to resort to using the alternative, murderously costly private treatment? Why are Manx Care paying a 20% tariff uplift to their providers when the Isle of Wight only pays a 1% uplift? It seems that we have about 25 times as many patients per head of population waiting for more than a year on our waiting list than England has. But if Manx Care has made the comparison and disputes this figure, what is their figure that they have produced?
Well, lots of questions. What do you think should happen with Manx Care? Because obviously, as Theresa Cope is departing,
I think it presents a wonderful opportunity for whoever takes over as responsible for Manx Care. I think we suffer on the Isle of Man by believing that an operation like Manx Care, which admittedly is complex and difficult in many ways, it's a huge operation. It's not a particularly huge operation. In fact, in comparison to the situations in the UK, it's very small. I myself have had 7,500 people working for me, and that was a considerably bigger operation. But I think the thing about it is, because it's now not operating as well as it should do, it presents an absolutely glorious opportunity for whoever takes over from Teresa to absolutely shine by applying good, sound, morale boosting management techniques.
Or what about the alternative of going back to how it was before, which was run by a government department, and cutting Manx Care out of the loop?
I'm not sure, but I tell you what I have got, which I would like you to listen to off air, and that is, I've been working with a retired senior executive of National Health Service England, and we've been investigating the whole situation regarding waiting lists, which are indeed complex and difficult to understand and without a good deal of explanation. I have a recording. It's a 20-minute recording, which I'd be very happy to play to you to help you understand the situation better. But it's not for something to be played on the radio, and it's not something that I can do anything other than play privately to people.
Okay. All right, Richard. Well, by all means,
extremely informative.
Yeah, the email address is maninline@manxradio.com. So just send me the details of it, and I'll certainly like to hear what that's all about.
I'll make arrangements to speak to you on the phone.
Okay.
Off air.
All right then. All right. Just drop me an email, and we can correspond in that way. I want to go to David's with us now. Hi, David. It's not Blighted Line 2 again, is it? No, it's Julian then. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Well, very well, thank you. I don't like the weather, I'll be honest with you.
A bit miserable, isn't it? As you say, it's probably dry up a bit later. I do sympathise with your previous caller. Perhaps the profligate spending and too many highly paid managers would help the situation. Maybe get a few more frontline people in to try and take up the slack on the queue.
Well, the thing is, nobody knows. I mean, everybody thought it was a good idea to bring in Manx Care, you know, 5 years ago, and basically to get it out of the hands of the politicians and put some professionals in and do it that way. And, of course, they were tasked with finding savings. Of course, the opposite has happened in that. By the same token, demand for the service, which is free at the point of distribution, is theoretically unlimited. I mean, everybody is living a lot longer than they used to. People don't routinely die of heart attacks anymore. Medications are multifarious nowadays. There are more than there used to be, and they're very effective. So the fact is, more people are living longer than ever. So, of course, it's going to cost more.
You know, it's interesting you should say that. I was up at Bride Church the other day, and I found an awful lot of graveheads back in the 1800s. There's plenty of people that were living into their 80s back then. So, yes, people are living longer, but I wonder if the quality, you know, we talk about what's going on with the food and whatever else is in the atmosphere and stuff. It just makes you wonder if the quality is getting worse, but I'm not sure about the longevity. Andrea's Church as well. I was up there having a look around. There's quite a lot of people.
Well, funnily enough, I was at Bride Church as well, and there are also quite a few gravestones of child deaths, of people, you know, babies dying and young children dying. So infant mortality used to be a lot higher than it used to be then. And, I mean, really, you know, years and years ago, Julian, it was rare to find anybody getting over the age of 80. Now, people routinely live into their 90s. So people are living a lot longer than they used to.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, especially with the child things. I mean, if you look at, say, measles was a big one. But in the early 1960s, measles had been reduced almost to zero in terms of deaths because of, you know, better care and better, you know, hydration and antibiotics. And that was years before the vaccines came out, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, a follow-up to yesterday's Man in Line. You took me to task slightly yesterday, so it's kind of a reply on that one. My concerns over the Department of Infrastructure's decision to employ Robert Garden of CMS Law in London to represent the Isle of Man's interest in the Moore Van and Wind project. I mentioned yesterday his involvement with Ørsted. That was in March of 2022 in connection with Hornsea 1 and acquisition of assets on that. But more relevant to the Isle of Man, CMS Law has been instrumental in assisting Ørsted with almost all of the Irish Sea offshore wind farms, including the Walney extension, the Ormond wind farm off Barrow in Furness, the Robin Rigg wind farm in the Solway Firth, and Burbo Bank wind farm near Liverpool Bay. Now, despite supposedly representing the island's interests, I've been reviewing the 21 hours of Moore Van Inn hearings last week. Robert Garden only spoke for a total of around 10 minutes. Unlike the Ørsted lawyers, who spoke for pretty much 12 hours in reply to the panel. And during those few minutes that Robert Garden spoke on behalf of the island, there was no pushback of the Moore Van Inn representatives. It seems that the independent panel were the ones asking all the right questions that Robert Garden, as we're employing him, should have asked. And I'm finding this a bit shocking. I also noticed on Robert Garden's profile on CMS Law's own website, he's got some what they call achievements in pushing through renewable projects in the UK. Like, for example, the Knapthorpe and Muscombe solar farms, both of each were 50 megawatt huge ones in Nottinghamshire. Both were turned down by Newark and Sherwood District Council amidst uproar from the locals relating to loss of productive agricultural land for up to 40 years and intrusion into rural housing and heritage sites. Robert Garden then found a way around this by using Section 78 of the UK overall Town and Country Planning Act to get around and reverse the local council's decisions. And those same tactics he's been using for the Statira Energy's battery storage facility in Claydon in Suffolk, another battery storage facility in Ramsden, Lincolnshire. And another triumph was providing legal risk management for renewables companies, SSE Renewables and Equinor, with the Dogger Bank wind project, the largest one in the world, where reportedly planning consent was obtained by not only responding to concerns to the fishing community, but preventing some of their claims of displacement and disruption of sea organisms. So I'm just wondering, why is Robert Garden representing the island's interests from an online Zoom call in London from a law firm that is an official partner with Ørsted? I mean, I'm beginning to think we might as well have no defence lawyer and save the money, which I think the last report was that the Isle of Man government has spent over £260,000 on this legal representation for the Moore Van Inn thing, even though it's not really ours to do.
So your opinion is that we've got the wrong man?
I think we need somebody local who can actually ask the same questions that the panel were asking. You know, things like, you know, the enormous scale, the fact that it's 6 miles from shore. There's nothing like it in the UK, and they would not tolerate this. The panel, I completely sympathise with them. I mean, the benefits to harm ratio is what they tried to get out. They were talking for 25 minutes with Ørsted and DEFA and DOI to try and get it out, because the benefit that they kept talking about was decarbonisation. But that, and I don't even believe in decarbonisation, but that benefit will be for the UK, because the vast majority, if not all, because there's no promises about a line coming to the island as yet, will benefit the UK's emissions figures. So the panel was trying to get the balance. If you're not going to talk about the decarbonisation balance because that's just for UK jurisdiction, what are the benefits for the island? And they absolutely refused to say what the money was like, or any of this. Now, well, Robert
presumably, Julian, somebody in government knows how much we're supposedly going to get, although details of the contract of renting the seabed haven't been released. We don't actually know whether it's millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billions, and over what period this is going to be, and who's going to foot the cost of putting, if there is going to be an interconnector from Preston to Groudle, who's going to pay for that, who's going to pay for then getting it from Groudle into our system. We don't know at the moment, so we're being asked to trust the government in this respect.
Yeah, the two last points, so I'll just run through them quick. Robert Gardner actually mentioned the 2014, as it was then, the Dong Energy report, and he stated that it was touted then as a 25 to 50 year life project with $5 million a year for the seabed lease. So far, from what I can see from an FOI, we've only received a derisory $8,400 a year, I think, plus that, or whatever it is. So that wouldn't even buy a house after 11 years. And yet Ørsted would be expected to pay the Crown Estate 30 times that for a thing of this size. So I don't know. I think we need decent local legal representation. And something else that I noticed, it's just the last bit, they're trying to sort of talk down the negative impacts on fishing. Now, the sand eels. Now, they had an expert, I think they were Zoom calling in from Germany, and they were trying to make out that sand eels won't be affected because they only have swim bladders. Now, sand eels are really important because they're right in the middle of the ecological cycle. You know, they're eaten by all kinds of, animals. You've got puffins, kittiwakes, guillemots, cod, haddock, mackerel, seals, and even some of the whales. And sand eels, of course, are eating the plankton, fish eggs, larvae. But they're very specific. One of the DEFA experts said they don't move around that much because you've got wart bank behind the chicken rock, behind the car for man, and then you've got Bahama Bank, where there's a very particular kind of area that they must live in. But what they completely ignored is the fact that sand eels have vibration sensors in their inner ear called otoliths. They completely ignored this. These are a calcium carbonate thing which pick up ultra low frequencies from predators. Fish coming to eat them. So that's how they pick this up. So the sound sensors are particularly sensitive to these vibrations, well below what Ørsted are sensing. Now, I noticed that the University of Oslo has published a research paper where they wanted to exclude fish and eels from the inlet vents from sort of power stations because they need water for cooling. Also for hydroelectric and also irrigation channels. And they were using sort of like a sound barrier of around 10 hertz, very low frequencies, to stop the fish from coming into these inlets. Now, if you add that into a Delft University of Technology in Holland, they found that offshore pile driving, which is a huge amount of deadly power, over 220 decibels, the vast amount of the shock frequency is well in that range. So when they're pile driving these massive turbines, which are going to require four times the size of the pile drivers because they're six times the sweep, they're huge, great things, as we've spoken about, the frequency that they're going to be ramming into the seabed are exactly what those otolith inner ear sensors, the sand eels, rely on to sense for their predators.
Okay,
so
all right.
The idea that Ørsted... Yeah, sorry, I'm carrying on. Thanks, Andy.
All right, we appreciate it. Thanks for making those points today, Julian. I want to go to David now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me, mate?
Loud and clear, thanks.
Lovely. I was listening to the Keys this morning there, and the DEFA minister, although she was on yesterday, we didn't get a chance to come on, but never mind. But she said there was a fund that was created, and it wasn't the Green Living Fund. It was like a green fund anyway, and it was something like $16 million. I would like to know where the $16 million is. How much has that been spent on the island, and what projects has it picked up? regarding something in the Isle of Man, whether we've done small schemes or we've done something, or are these ones are going to be for the panels on the National Sports Centre, the post office or whatever. And I just wonder what we've actually received out of that money that's possibly been spent. I don't know how much has been spent on that. And regarding the Green Grant or Living Grant, by dropping something like 100,000, I think she said, into the kitty again to do insulation, light bulbs and so forth, we need to move on. It's a modern era now, and some people probably would want insulation, but I mean, once you've got about 6 or 7 inches of that stuff in your loft, you don't need any more, because you're never going to get the house ventilated, are you? And that's what worries me about these small schemes. And she's mentioned this morning, Taboo, about the scheme that was coming forward for modern stuff, and it's going to be in July's Timbald. Well, you know what's going to happen there?
Oh, yes.
There'll be a massive chat, and it's never going to go anywhere, and nothing's going to be done until we get a new house in. And that's my concern as an individual there, because I would love to get, like I say, an extra battery. And before you say anything, I've only got about 42% in the battery, so I'm getting some energy out of it, and I'm not working that hard to get it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thing is that, as you say, many, many people, the government are almost pushing an open door. Lots of people do want these things. But at the moment, if the government are so keen in this happening, it's almost like, why don't they put their money where their mouth is? I mean, lots of money, so that anybody who wants something can actually have it, David.
Yeah. And the other thing, just quickly, our last contributor said about lawyers, local lawyers. Can you imagine trying to go to a local lawyer now and to investigate wind turbines and whatever? All they're going to do is use documentation that's come from the UK. And you know how much a lawyer costs for an hour. If you sit down for an hour, you know, you've already spent a fortune.
Never mind an hour. It's every 10 minutes.
Well, that's it. And then they write you a letter. It's more money, isn't it? Okay. So I'd be careful of what's gone on in the world. Sometimes you have to pick up the stuff that's already there and been tested and done. And you can just run with it a little bit, and we can use the Manx scenario in it.
Yeah.
And I'd love to get Ofsted to come to likes of Onken. We haven't had them in Onken, and after last night's meeting, there's no secret anyway. We're asking Ofsted to come to Onken and have a chat. So hopefully would be a public meeting.
Oh, this is, you mean Ofsted, the wind turbine? Ofsted, yeah.
Yeah, to have a chat. I mean, there's all sorts of documents out, and the group that's going around saying, yeah, we can't have these because they're 50 foot tall or whatever it is, got flashing lights on. But at the end of the day, we've got to have something, haven't we, Andy? We've got to connect into the grid for the UK. I mean, whether we like it or not, we're a crown dependency, very small. We've been taken over by Telecom from Guernsey now, isn't it, or Jersey?
Apparently, yes.
They're promising all sorts, aren't they, to for people to go back to Manx Telecom, I suppose, or the definition of that now. Mm. And it's never going to happen, so I'm going to stick with our fellow on the sky.
Okay.
All right, mate.
Thanks for calling today. It's good to hear from you. And Betty's on now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I'd just like to applaud Julian for all the work he puts in to let us know what's going on with these things. I do appreciate it, because I couldn't find out nearly as much as he does. And it's really good to know all the ins and outs of everything. I don't always agree with him, but in this particular case, yes, I do.
Okay.
And I'd simply like to say thank you to Julian for that.
All right, Betty. We're good to hear from you. Thank you. I'll pass that on. Well, you passed it on. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, bye.
12:30 on Manx Radio from Douglas in the Isle of Man. Man in Line's on through until 1.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Construction waste today.
Tells Recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tellskip's will bring to you.
At Tellskip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
The team at Nicola Bowker & Co. specialise in supporting local businesses with the expertise, practical help and advice that you've been seeking. Whether accounts, tax, payroll or expertise along your business journey, find the friendly, professional support you need at Nicola Bowker & Co.
Mega offers on Waltons this Saturday and Bank Holiday Monday. Mega offers on in-stock TVs. In fact, offers throughout the electrical store. Come to Waltons on Isle of Man Business Park opposite Robinson's or check out Waltons online for our latest offers. Waltons Mega offers this Bank Holiday.
For a trustworthy removal and storage solution, contact Dave's Removals and Storage. Offering man and van removals, clearances and long or short-term storage with pickup and drop-off service. Call 258 766 or find Dave's Removals and Storage on Facebook.
TT 2026 is almost here.
And Manx Radio Motorsport will be on the air to bring you every moment of the action.
Practice and race commentary, interviews with all the top riders, along with the latest weather and travel updates. We'll also bring you the pre-TT practice and race sessions at the Valence Circuit.
Listen at motorsport.manxradio.com, our smartphone app, DAB and AM 1368.
It all starts this Friday evening at 5 o'clock with our pre-TT coverage getting underway from 6. Manx Radio Motorsport, the best biking station in the world. Brought to you by Tesco.
The man in line with Andy Wint.
28 minutes before what? Joan's on now. Hiya, Joan.
Hello, Andy. I've just been listening with interest to Julian. Lots of the subjects that he talks about, he's very articulate and intelligent man. I find hard to follow, but in this case of listening to him today about the company that's supposed to be helping us about Orsted and his connections, etc., with Orsted, I just find it actually unbelievable, and I want to publicly thank Julian for all the research that he's done. He quite obviously knows far more than any MHK, certainly more than our Chief Minister. And if it's not too much trouble and imposing on him, I would like to say to him, please be so kind as to put that all down and send a copy to every MHK and one in large letters to our Chief Minister, to let him know what they quite obviously don't know, because nobody would have him representing our Isle of Man and our concerns. It is actually totally unbelievable, and it makes the MHKs, to be quite honest, it looks as though they're like village pump commissioners. In fact, I would say the commissioners on the Isle of Man would make a better job of it. I'm really, really incensed with this, really upset that we're talking about such a program of these wind turbines and the person who's supposed to be fighting on our behalf. And more so when I heard how long Orsted were talking at the meetings, at the discussions, and he did 10 minutes. It's absolutely disgraceful, and the money that's been spent. So I hope Julian is listening, and I would be very, very grateful if he would do that. And I'm sure there are a lot of your listeners who would be very grateful to know that he's doing it. That's all I've got to say on the subject.
But, okay.
Thanks very much,
We appreciate
Andy.
Your call, Joe. Thanks for calling today. Bearing in mind what we were talking about yesterday as well, there was it was Teddy who just said yesterday, you were talking about tripe. In fact, you were talking tripe. About tripe, or it was about getting offal on the Isle of Man. And Barry dropped a note after the programme yesterday to say, where can you buy kidneys and where can you buy liver? Thank you. I don't know, Barry, to be quite honest, but I'm sure somebody does somewhere. Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, very well, thanks.
I was over... well, first of all, the Nikkei 225 isn't doing too well. I put short on it, but... So I came off okay on it, but I mean, it's in the ghetto at the moment, to be honest with you, as a stock market. So I'm not sure how crypto's going, but anyway, I was up in Timwold, and they had the president who looks at the speaker, and the speaker looks at the president, and he said there wouldn't be any supplement for golden radios.
Is that right?
Well, golden radiators are very important to me, actually.
Well, good.
I like a good omelette on a radiator.
Very good.
Anyway, yeah, I was thinking there won't be any grants at all for what David Quirk was saying earlier in terms of the energy scheme.
Well, they said there are going to be some in the future, just not yet.
No, they're spending £100,000 at the moment on staff, and that's all they're doing. They're not giving any money out.
Is that what you said? They're not giving any money out.
Well, they're not improving the system as I see it.
Okay.
So I think that needs to be corrected. It's the only question I went in for today. I was bitterly disappointed, and thought Claire Barber could have done a far better shot today, to be honest with you. She just didn't put the mustard up, to be honest with you. With me, I would have liked to hear a little bit more, you know.
Okay.
I could do with a new radio as well.
Jolly good. All right. Thanks for calling today. And thanks to Dewan715, who's in the Julian corner at the moment. I buy liver in Tesco, says D. Thank you there. It was fantastic to read, says Nick, that Kate Law Brennan's intending to move an amendment in Timwold to ensure every nationally significant wind turbine renewable energy development is subject to ultimate approval by Timwold. For democracy to take place exactly how it should, I'd like to say a big thank you to Kate Law Brennan and urge her and other elected members to speak up and support her. Gaz said, Tim will refuse to have a climate change referendum, saying we have an election to express our views. Now, DEFA needs to publish its climate change progress report, which reviews 2022 to 2026 before the election, so that we are properly informed when we vote. And Harry, regarding TT, never mind that we're being reminded to think bike. We need a campaign aimed at motorcyclists, reminding them there are other road users on the roads, people going about their daily lives, driving to work, walkers, dog walkers, cyclists and horse riders. We local people can't go into hiding for 4 weeks of the year because of the many using the roads as a racetrack. And please, no one says it happens every year. The health and safety authorities have ignored it for too long, says Harry. And a message in from Ali. Regarding drug reform, there should be reform, but should Dr. Allinson, an MHK who's stepping down, and a parliament that will change in November, really be bringing this forward now? There seems to be no grasp of priorities in this parliament. Here's a message in from Paul, who said, don't hold your breath on restructuring Manx Care, as the layers of management will be impossible to shift without throwing more money at it. Well, something somewhere's got to happen, hasn't it? With what's going to happen to Manx Care. And all that's happened over the past 5 years is we have thrown more and more money at it. Now, admittedly, that used to happen all the time. The DHSC was forever coming back for more money from Timwold for the old Nobles Hospital and everything else, the health and social care bill. And social care is really important. So at some point, we're going to have to move forward and decide what it is we really want and how much we're prepared to pay for it. I'm not sure why some people find it difficult to understand where cannabis will be sold if it were legalised. It will be sold in licensed shops, probably places like vape shops already operating in town, which sell vaporisers and other cannabis-related products. Some people find it hard to understand how an off-licence sells alcohol. Do they still have off-licences? They're just shops now, aren't they? I mean, once upon a time, you had an off-licence. There was an on-licence and an off-licence. But nowadays, everybody sells alcohol, don't they? And at all times of the day and night. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, my point is, what's going to be sold? Is it going to be cannabis? Is it going to be weed that's going to be sold so people have to roll their own? Or are they going to be pre-packed cannabis cigarettes? And going back to the point I made last week, can anybody guarantee the criminal fraternity is going to throw up their hands and say, well, we had a good run, you can do it legally now? Really? Really? Can you see the criminal world saying that they're not going to sell cannabis anymore just because it becomes legal? Really? If you can. Right, text, email, call and WhatsApp. Lots of messages in today. What's the story about Manxcare getting an extra $4 million without authorisation, says Andy. Any more details on that? In the 1970s, we lived on ox liver and mutton and Bernard Matthews turkey sausages, none of which is available now. Why is the TT referred to as races when it's not a race? It's a time trial, says David. I'm guessing, David, you're not a fan of the TT, because it is a race. I mean, a time trial is a race, isn't it? Government seems not to care about the use of cash. So it was interesting to note at the weekend that bus payment cards weren't working and people were being advised to pay with cash. Did you come across that? Here's Carol, who dropped a note in. I was very disappointed with the Palace Hotel. Oh, no. The Palace Hotel apparently aren't serving kippers for breakfast anymore. The Palace Hotel always used to serve kippers, says Carol. I had some friends who stayed there last week expecting kippers. Kippers on the Isle of Man. It's like Morecambe and Wise, bacon and eggs, it goes together. But kippers weren't available. And when I asked, they asked about the kippers, apparently they said they're frozen and they didn't know how many they needed to serve. So the Palace Hotel is not serving kippers at breakfast. Crikey, what's going on with the world?
Playing with crypto will make you rich, right? Look, a celebrity is posting about it on social media, so it's got to be safe. And now, oh, you're only a click away from a fortune. Go on. You've just been scammed. Online scams are everywhere. Fake crypto posts, wild claims, pressure to act fast. It's not a game. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Always verify the people trying to take your money. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the Isle of Man Constabulary, and the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
Ramsey Garden Centre have new stock arriving every week. There's something for everyone, whether for indoors or outside, plants, bedding, decorative or solar lights. Ramsey Garden Centre are open every day over the bank holiday, including Bank Holiday Monday.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Employers, having trouble with staff and need reliable advice? Employees, are you treated fairly in the workplace or do you have a grievance?
The workplace can be problematic on both sides. For any work-related legal issue, contact the employment law experts, Mann Benham. They advise employers and staff on all work-related problems with sound professional advice and a transparent fee policy. To arrange your free consultation at Mann Benham, call today on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
The latest edition of Manx Radio's Breath Mindfulness podcast with Karen Hardman is available now.
Imagine you have just stepped into a cool swimming pool. It's a glorious hot afternoon.
Brought to you by the Good Health Store on Station Road in Port Erin.
This place reminds you that life can be slower, and here, haste is not needed.
The latest in the Breath Mindfulness series with Karen Hardman, and available now at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
16 minutes before one. Regarding cannabis, anybody who's been through a country or city where cannabis can be sold legally knows exactly what form the cannabis takes. They're sold in shops, usually in a separate section from normal products, where you can buy cannabis lozenges, cakes, cigarettes, or cannabis roll. even drinks. There's a whole industry that legally produces these products and sells them in legally registered shops, just like cigarettes and alcohol here. Ali. Thanks, Ali. Where? Which cities are you talking about? Which countries are you talking about? And again, if you could just project that onto the Isle of Man, who'd sell them? Who'd sell cannabis products here? So whether they're lozenges or cakes or cigarettes, whatever, or the drinks, who'd sell them? Give me a particular shop that would sell them. Again, and the three that I use are health food shops, so Holland & Barrett. I mean, they wouldn't, but I mean, just using that to illustrate it. Holland & Barrett, is it going to be a chemist, or would it be what used to be a tobacconist? So now the tobacco bit of the spa shops or something like that. Who would do that? And again, please, if anybody can tell me that the criminal fraternity will just go the other way. Energy efficiency grants. These grants have reached about 4,500 households in 4 years since their inception. So roughly 1,100 households per year. At this rate, says Muriel, it's going to take a long time to reach the whole population of around 30,000 residential homes. So it'll be about 30 years. Wouldn't it be more efficient to start in Bride and work systematically across the Isle of Man, offering grants to householders in defined areas till you get to Craigneish? Or do it the other way around? When people realise their neighbours are gaining these advantages, they may be more likely to apply for grants themselves. Oh, I see. The old neighbourhood envy thing. Anyway, also, companies doing the work should concentrate on particular streets or areas rather than zigzagging around as they do at the present, says Muriel. Yeah, have you got any thoughts on that? Before the wind farms kick off about how the government agrees an independently funded forensic audit of the Liverpool landing for the ferry. Clearly, says Valmer, the government has no clue how to manage costs. I can bet my bottom dollar they'd rigorously oppose such an audit. Well, I mean, to be fair to the government, that Liverpool landing stage thing is still going on. I mean, we all agree it shouldn't have happened, but it has happened. And obviously there are probably advocates' letters going here, there and everywhere as to whose responsibility was what. Let's get to the lines. Here's Patrick with us now. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Andy. Andy, the Limburg cannabis, it's not a problem, really, because any chemist can sell it. If you go to Holland, you can buy cannabis. It's not hallucination drug. It's medication, really.
Right.
So you can. There's no real problem about a chemist stocking it. I wouldn't have thought.
Right. What about recreational cannabis, though, Patrick?
Well, that's a different subject. But medication-wise, I think people with sore hips and injuries and all that, it's definitely a beneficial thing.
Well, I mean, it's well documented that, I mean, there was a lady who came on, must be 3-4 years ago, who had horrendous problems with Crohn's disease. Went on cannabis and she was taking umpteen pills a day, and since she's been on a cannabis treatment, absolutely no problems whatsoever. So the benefits of medicinal cannabis, I think, are well documented. Recreational,
yeah, give you the juice, Andy.
Yeah, recreation, that's another thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but as long as it's brought in, likes of the government now, it's likes of Duan talking about, I know it's a different subject, but talking about the wind farm and all that, he brought out a good point about the lawyer representing us and has also been working for them for donkey's years, most probably. The firm, it should have been a total independent firm, really. I don't understand how that could happen.
Yeah.
It's like when the MEA made the mistake of letting Mike Crawford have a free hand. To me, there's too many mistakes in government now.
Well, they would probably any advocate would probably say, you know, it's Chinese walls. They can represent one client one way and represent another client another way.
No, that is really a fallacy, really, because I wouldn't rub you up if I was representing you next month or next year and I'm representing somebody against you. I wouldn't rub you up the wrong way. I would do my best to kind of calm the water down, that sort of thing. You know, you wouldn't fight tooth and nail for someone you're going to be working for in 2 years' time or a year's time. it's not that feasible.
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Patrick. Yeah. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah, the other thing, Andy, is the, the other thing I was going to say is that everybody, Alex O'Dune, and I don't know what he does for a living, but to me, he sounds the ideal person as a candidate for politics.
I'm sure he's very happy to hear you say, that, Patrick.
Okay, bye for now.
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. There's already a cannabis epidemic on the Isle of Man. You can go to a couple of places, claim stress, panic attacks, and get it prescribed. Then it's ordered off the internet, delivered to the Isle of Man. It's that easy, says Dave. It was originally prescribed for serious illnesses and pain management. Now it's available if you claim panic attacks. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, at last. Who's on the line? It's forgotten.
Everything comes to he who waits.
That's it, yeah. Joan was bang on. I'd like to second what she said about Julian and your last caller. He tirelessly works to find out the truth, and it's a good job he does, isn't it? Because, like everybody else out here, we cannot trust what goes on in the government. Yesterday, I tried to get on. I was hanging on for ages and ages, but Claire Barber was on. I think I heard her say at one time, she's very, very happy about the way the herring industry is going. It's improving. She's hoping to get more and more quotas and so on. Won't be much use, will it, if they go ahead with the wind turbines out there, because like our good friend Wilf, God bless him, has told us all over and over again, it will kill fishing. We have been studying all this lot for the last 3 years, and God knows, and we know it kills fishing. So what a silly statement to make. Also, if only some of these MHKs that we got to do some homework. I've just been away for a fortnight, and when I come back, I find out that Alf Cannon has announced that we do need a new radar at the airport. Now, how many times have we told them these things in the past? The Aristain group has done a lot of homework on this. Julian is another one. Miles and miles of work. We're almost like academics now on the subject of this stupid wind turbines. They are not green. They are not cheap. They'll never, ever be cost effective. They are not good for the environment. I think I'm going to print out my 35 reasons why not. And yours is the best one of all, isn't it? How much is it going to cost?
Well, it's a simple. I'm a simple man, Eddie. I'd like to know what's in it for us. Thank you very much. What's in it for us? And again, it baffles me sometimes why the government just can't say things in plain terms. I know people, management people like to mothball everything in management terms and management speak and bureaucracy and what have you. But really simply, what's in it for us? If there are billions and billions of pounds, that's difficult to argue against, because obviously there's going to be some disruption. It's a cost benefit analysis, really, Eddie?
Well, I'm sorry, I was only joking then when I said that, but you were so right. Everything is straight down the line. It's either good or it's bad. And so, up to now, and how many times have the people out here said this? Why are we going down one track? There's got to be something very suspicious about it all. It is totally wrong. It will never work, especially if it's in the hands of the governments anyway. And we've got... It's going to cost billions of pounds. And how many times have we pointed out little things? And the government is slowly slipping in. We need new radar. How much is that going to cost? 50 million? God knows how much. But it's all coming true. Everything that we've studied, why don't the government just stop making any decisions whatsoever? Because they're going to be out any time now. And we'll see what we get next.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for being with us today.
Cheers, mate.
Drop the rents in our villages and towns. We need to start baking again. We need lots of little shops selling savoury and sweet culinary delights. The lack of this is a problem for holidaymakers because it's a disappointment. Not only that, but Manx people deserve to have choices. Not everybody likes the options in supermarkets selling highly processed, unwholesome, and I say unhealthy food, says Will. Remember all the bakers we used to have here? It's a great opportunity for keen cooks and business-minded people. Yes, but somebody has to do this, Will, and presumably that will be you. Because when people say, I'd like bakeries, but somebody else should do it, it's kind of shifting the problem a bit, isn't it? I mean, remember, to sell food to the public, you need all sorts of rules that you need to get through. You can't just say, it's not like a baking sale. If you're selling something, anyway, Rita, you understand that, don't you? Hey, and by the way, remember Manx Radio's Man in Line is an opinion programme. And remember, the opinions that you hear on Manx Radio on Man in Line don't represent Manx Radio. They represent the people who say them. So anything you hear on Manx Radio is an opinion of the person who says it, and it nothing to do with Manx, doesn't represent Manx Radio, the captain, the crew, the passengers, the staff, and everybody else. This is an opinion programme. Always has been an opinion programme. For 50 years, it's been an opinion programme. Did we get that straight? I think we did. Right. Tomorrow, another Man in Line, open line. On Thursday, we're going to be live at Ramsey Grammar School. It's important because the year 12s, this year's year 12s, are going to be able to vote. 16-year-old votes can vote. Their vote is just as valid as anybody else's. So we'll hear what the voters of maybe first-time voters in the election this year have to say at Ramsey Grammar School on Lazare Road in Ramsey. In the meantime, if you want to follow up on anything, you can email maninline@manxradio.com. You can call 682-631. Leave a message on the answer phone. And by the way, if you hear something you don't like, you're more than welcome to call. Thanks to Chris on the phone.
W-I-N-T.